Hi, everyone. It is February 22nd, and we are so glad that you joined us today for our career article about what millennials in the office have to teach you. And we started out yesterday talking about, usually there's, you know, we think about millennials in the workplace as having bad habits and maybe unrealistic expectations about what they have to offer, who they are, and more seasoned colleagues are like, who do you think you are? You know, you should be listening to me. I should not be listening to you. But the article actually is introducing seven areas, it says, that are vital for career success. And there are seven proficiencies that are part of this. And they all come from the millennials in our lives, or in our workplaces anyway. And yesterday we had three that we talked about. So we're going to review these for you today before we introduce the other four. So my name is Linda, and I'm happy you can be here. And let's start with Hazel. Welcome, Hazel.
Okay, I'm Hazel, and number one talks about baby boomers. So I qualify in commenting on this because I'm a baby boomer. And it says that we appreciate a strong work ethic. Right? We want to be labeled as a hard worker. And I think maybe a good worker or getting the job done in a certain way is how we want to be labeled. But maybe that's no longer so important to millennials that come. They want to get the job done, but maybe not by a 9-to-5 job or being in the office all the time or doing it a certain way, but maybe a more creative way. They just want to get the job done in their own personal, distinctive way. And that's called a personal brand. You know,
okay.
They have their own ideas, and people get to know them for who they are as individuals.
Okay, and then we also have...
Hello, everyone. This is Josh, and one of the other things we talked about yesterday that millennials might be able to suggest or help us with is the act of virtual team building. So this is being able to maintain a lot of contacts and a lot of relationships, either directly or indirectly, through online resources, and have sort of a large brain trust or a large brain bank that lets us really access a lot of information quite quickly to help us solve problems.
Okay, and then we have our millennial with us today in the studio, Zach.
Hi, everybody. All right, for the third proficiency, yesterday we learned about soliciting feedback or asking for advice, right? How to improve, what didn't go well, just anything that will help you do the job better from your peers. And so here that seems like it's a distinctive mark of the millennial to ask or to be hungry for feedback.
And do you feel you are?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it depends often on a lot of things. But in general, I think it's a good thing to lean into. So I think it could be a positive for millennials.
Okay. I think it could actually be a positive for a lot of people. We, you know, those of us who are in the baby boomer generation didn't grow up with this, you know, because really our parents were busy surviving. You know, and we learned to survive in that mode with helping them. But it seems like over the years that, you know, like I try to be as encouraging to my kids as possible. I think they're both millennials. I have to think about that. But I think they're both millennials. And so, you know, we pass down generational habits to our children as well. So if you grow up in a more encouraging, instant feedback society or family, you bring that with you into the workplace as well. Well, we have four more that we're going to talk about today. And if you have any comments on this article, we invite you to write to us on our Facebook page or send us your feedback at letters and let us know what you think and if you agree with it or what you've observed in your own workplace. So we are on page 35 in the magazine. We invite you to turn to that page and read along with us as we begin the article, or maybe you have your digital device with you and you can find it and follow along as we discuss the four more proficiencies.
Four, embracing diversity. Workers of a certain age tend to think of diversity in terms of race, sex, or religion. To millennials, the concept is much broader, encompassing communication preferences and learning styles. Over time, many grade schools switched from rows of desks to pod seating to encourage collaboration. Perhaps that helps explain why millennials understand that diversity isn't just about skin color, but how people go about performing their work, Vernon says.
So this first proficiency that we're talking about with millennials here are the proficiency of embracing diversity. And that actually there's more than just one type of diversity.
Yeah, so for example, that's pretty interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so for example, I think a lot of us really do think that diversity means maybe race, certainly sex, and maybe also religion. But here they talk about it more than just those obvious physical ways.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting because those are the three obvious ones that we always talk about. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about diversity, on another hand, what do you think of?
Well, I suppose, you know, obviously there's the article mentions learning styles or a preference in how something is communicated. But it even goes on to describe just the structure, the infrastructure of the classroom,
mm-hmm.
how the seats are set up. Does this encourage teamwork or team building as opposed to just doing your own individual thing? And so it seems like this proficiency of embracing diversity has more to do with kind of an approach, right? Just being open to different approaches.
Right, the kind of style of work I think we're talking about here. So we see here that first we say that millennials embrace diversity, which means they welcome it. And, you know, I worked in some offices where they don't really want diversity, or some not just offices, but places. You know, you want everything to be pretty much the same. But here, you know, we see that, as Zach said, the concept is broader. It says it encompasses communication preferences and learning style. And what do you do if you encompass something, Hazel?
You sort of accept it. You embrace it, perhaps. You include it.
Okay.
All right. So to circle it, I think of compass as something that's a circular encompass, everything in the circle, include it. So encompassing different communication preferences and learning styles. So all the ways we learn and different people, different styles.
Right. You know, when we look at the model student in schools, I mean, if you're in education, they talk about this. You know, the model student in schools are the ones that just sit there and are fed information. But here, you know, I think for teachers as well, you know, we have to look at learning styles and see what we can do to enhance that and make that experience better for children. And that's why a lot of grade schools have switched what they do into this pod seating. And if you're, you know, a pod is like a little group together, right? So what does this actually mean, Josh?
So it means that the way that the people are arranged in the classroom, instead of being in the traditional sort of rows, everybody facing forward, that they're all sitting together in groups where they face each other, and they're really encouraged to work on group projects and collaborating with each other.
Okay, so you use that word collaborating with each other. You use the verb form of our noun here to encourage collaboration, which means when you work together to create something. You know, you have to be willing to take some risk when you do something like this in a classroom.
It is risky. It is risky. And it sounds really good, but when you're in a meeting or when you're collaborating with other people and they have completely different ideas, it might be a little bit harder than you think. Although sometimes it opens your eyes to a new way of doing things, or sometimes it just blocks you and you don't get anything done. So there are some risks involved.
And I think one of the things that's kind of interesting about millennials is that they've embraced this idea that, you know, if I'm working with a group of people, maybe Zach responds best to Facebook Messenger, Linda responds best to going over and talking to her desk, and Hazel responds best to an email. But because I'm so used to working with different people in different ways, I won't expect everyone to respond to an email. I'll try and use the different preferences in order to get the best results.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think this is just a description that they're giving, and I think for people that are used to working in a certain environment and doing things a certain way, you know, we need to broaden our minds here, open our minds and look at different ways of doing things.
Right, and I think that sentiment where maybe you've heard, we don't want to recreate the wheel. There's this saying that we don't want to do something again because it's already been done, but that doesn't really hold true always for the millennial generation that I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, no, we would like to kind of reapproach this or need to consider what are the new technology or the new ways or the new resources at our disposal in order to collaborate and get the job done.
Right. And maybe look at it, as Hazel was saying, from a different perspective, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to be very careful, those of us in the baby boomer generation, because a lot of us are in the positions of authority, or I don't like to say this word, but of power. And if things always have to be done our way, then, you know, it doesn't allow us really to learn really as we should be. So, you know, I would encourage myself and others to think along these lines. Okay, well, let's go on and read our fifth one.
Five, delivering presentations. Often criticized for lacking basic communication skills, millennials are better equipped than their older colleagues to use audiovisual aids other than PowerPoint to create engaging presentations. A variety of web-based applications exist to generate graphs, charts, video clips, and animations. In general, when it comes to technology and online resources, younger generations tend to be much more in tune with some of the latest things coming out, says industrial and organization psychologist Joyce E. A. Russell, a management professor at the University of Maryland, College Park.
Okay, so do you ever feel like you have been criticized for lacking basic communication skills? I hate to pick on you, Zach, but Zach?
Picked on? No, I think...
Criticized for lacking.
Oh, for lacking. Maybe a little bit.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate a little bit?
I can elaborate a little bit, even though I'm not a millennial. Sometimes we get people that come to certain organizations, and when they're told to introduce themselves, they use a lot of slang. They can't quite get started. And you think, why don't you just start off and complete your sentences and mm-hmm. complete a paragraph and sit down? Or maybe they're talking to a group and the same thing happens. So they're great on the computer, they're great at email, they're great at all those things, but maybe standing up in front of people they're not as good at, or relating to someone one-on-one, they just use a lot of slang, and it's not what seniors are used to or seasoned people are used to.
Thank you for changing that word. Okay, so we see here that they might be criticized for lacking these basic skills, but they are more equipped than some senior members of the workforce in using audiovisual aids other than PowerPoint. If you're using audiovisual aid, what are you doing here? What are you using?
Maybe they're using video clips, things like that. So it says other than PowerPoint, besides PowerPoint, and a lot of us use that frequently.
Okay.
And so if you put that aside, some of us wouldn't know how to present something, but the millennials do.
Okay. So they can use audiovisual aids. Audio meaning sound, of course, and visual meaning sight. Okay. So, Josh, what do you think about this?
Well, I think it's a good point. There are a lot of applications that are cloud-based, web-based, that open up a lot of opportunities for doing different types of editing and effects that can be very effective in getting a message or a point across. While PowerPoint is a very powerful medium, that there are other options out there too. And I think people who are from the millennial generation are a little bit more versed at seeing the new things and using them.
Okay, I think I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, I tried to use Prezi and I couldn't I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Oh, I haven't even figured out what that means yet. But my complaint about this, not that it's really a complaint, but that's great that millennials know that, but are we really learning these new things from them? Actually, what happens, I think, is the projects just go directly to them. So they may know what's available, and then the projects are handed to them, and they take care of it. So maybe we're learning that there's a better way, but we're not perhaps learning exactly how to do it.
Sure, not without the reverse mentoring sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I took a class in this once, and for me, it was very daunting. The class was very daunting for me, but, you know, we were collaborating together, and I was on a team, and basically they did it because they, you know, my millennials in my group knew what to do, you know, so I was just trying to keep up, like, learning what they were doing. I never really got a full grasp of it, but I was trying.
So, like, I would really enjoy learning it, but the millennials are so good at it. It's mm-hmm. like getting someone to actually sit down and show you and then show you when you forget. That's
sure.
probably
mm-hmm.
not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, especially in a workplace because, you know, the bottom line is you've got to get it done.
Right.
So.
Right. I think it kind of comes back to what we were talking about. I think it was yesterday on just being sensitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
From both sides are just sensitive to kind of getting the work done as well as communicating and relaying to them, how they can also communicate better.
Okay. Yeah. To put it out there. Okay. And I think that probably we all agree with this. There's a phrase here from... he says industrial and organization psychologist, okay? So this is somebody who studies how organizations work and what works within them, and she actually says that younger generations tend to be much more in tune with some of the latest things coming out. And so if you're in tune with something, what are you?
So when you're in tune with something, it reminds me a little bit of those old radio dials where you have to like tune it mm-hmm. in just specifically in order to get the clearest message or the clearest signal. So, and here it means also that you're in agreement with something or aware of something.
Okay. So I think we probably all agree with this, right?
I think I do. And especially since it's from a professor at the University of Maryland in College Park. And that's my school. That's where I went to the university. To university.
Oh, yeah. What was your major?
My major was graphic design.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an industrial and organizational psychologist, yeah, I can. There's a slight connection.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'll just make that a real long stretch.
It's a very big school,
yes.
But it was a good place to go to school.
Okay, so we see that, remember that this is a general comment that she's making. You know, there are a lot of people that are very adept at these skills. I think with time, because I think a lot of it has to do with fear. I mean, I want to go back to what I said yesterday. I'm just afraid something's going to go wrong and I'm not going to know how to get out of it. And I'm not very adventuresome on the computer with like clicking to see what everything does. So I think that when I see, people from a younger generation doing it, you know, like millennials doing it, it's like there's no fear there. But I didn't learn that part about there not being any fear. So for me, well, my husband, you know, is my age, and he's not afraid. He does it all. So I just, whenever I have a computer problem, I think I've said this before, I just say his name, and he's there in a second because he doesn't want me messing up the computer, which I'm afraid I'm going to do anyway. Okay, well, let's go on. We have talked about embracing diversity from another point of view, and we've talked about delivering presentations. And let's continue on with our sixth one here, social media marketing.
Six, social media marketing. While bosses and senior employees may see Facebook and Twitter as productivity killers, social media platforms provide a means of connecting with customers, broadcasting brand messaging and promotional offers, and monitoring public opinion.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, how do you guys view Facebook and Twitter? Anybody want to go? What do you think of Facebook and Twitter? Hazel, let's start with you.
I'm not on Twitter, but I am on Facebook, and I enjoy it, and I try not to spend too much time on it, but I like to see what my friends are doing and keep up with that.
Okay. What about you, Josh?
Sarah, I use both Facebook and Twitter. I'm not as avid a Twitter user as I'm a Facebook. Twitter I tend to use for more like a news feed, so not just good ideas, but also when people are doing something like maybe the President of the United States or other people, that it tends to come up on Twitter first. So that's a good way for me to start looking into other things. So for me, it can be both a distraction, and it can also be somewhat productive.
Okay. What about you, Zach?
Well, similarly, yeah, for Facebook, I think of more of my personal connections, closer friends, and you want to see photos of, you know, family members who might be far away, but you can keep tabs on a personal level. Whereas, yeah, Twitter, I think of more professional connections or just general interest groups that you can kind of check in from time to time, but for me, probably less frequent.
Okay. So do any of you look upon them as productivity killers?
Sometimes. Sometimes I've been sitting there at the computer longer than I thought, and I should have been doing other things, but I've been on Facebook.
Let's look upon them not as productivity killers, but as...
connecting.
distractors is the word that came to mind.
Okay.
Okay, but connecting, you know, so we that's one of the things that millennials are known for is connecting, so we can go there. It says it's productivity killer. Social media platforms provide a means of connecting, so we just said that. But I think it's interesting how they're using it for marketing, connecting with customers. I don't really think of it as that, but the Studio Classroom website, it really is connecting with people, the people that read the magazine, and our customers, I guess we could say. So, you know, we also put things on there to keep people informed. So that is one positive way, our broadcasting brand messaging.
Yeah, I think part of the thing that maybe we forget all the time about Twitter and Facebook and other social media is the clickbait. So this happens to all of us. There'll be like an interesting web page or a video that encourages us to click on it and go someplace else. And so if you're familiar with these kinds of things, you know the types of things that are attractive to people, that people are interested in. And it's a good way to do this sort of brand messaging. So when we're talking about brand messaging, we're talking about things like Nike's Just Do It or McDonald's I'm Loving It. So sort of a easy way to communicate with consumers and customers what you really want your company or your brand to be about. And being familiar with that means mm-hmm. it's a little bit easier to write that copy or put that message out there when you're being charged with those sort of things.
And also monitoring public opinion. What do people think about it? You know?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And I think, too, there's that stigma maybe that had kind of comes up with Facebook or Twitter or even just the Internet. Oh, what are you doing? You're on the Internet. Get off the Internet. You're wasting time. Is just this kind of a stigma or an assumption. But, I mean, you can wait. And I think that there's so much truth to that, that mm-hmm. there are things like clickbait and there are things that will just suck your time and reduce productivity, but at the same time, recognizing it for what it is, to learn how to use it wisely and to connect with people when it's the right time.
Okay, well, well put. Well, we have one more left here, finding and keeping talent, so why don't we read this proficiency right now?
Seven, finding and keeping talent. I know of baby boomers who still hire for new positions by putting out ads in trade journals, Russell says. But younger professionals look for opportunities online and through professional networks like LinkedIn. They also bring different expectations and can provide good insights about the workplace of the future and what it takes to attract, recruit, engage and retain employees, Russell says. For example, millennials define on the job differently than boomers, who think it's the same as in the office.
Well, even I think that this phrase trade journal is kind of out of date. I don't think we see them around anymore, but a trade journal is a magazine within your specific journal that contains more information or up-to-date information about the industry that you're in. So I can think of, you know, there are some education journals that are out there. There are some publishing journals that are out there that people still use, okay? But it says here that younger professionals look for opportunities online and through professional networks like LinkedIn. And I think that that's true. I know several people that have been hired through people that knew connections on LinkedIn. Do you all use LinkedIn? Are you on LinkedIn, should I say?
My hesitancy towards LinkedIn was only in that I've known a lot of people to use it, but not a lot of necessarily bosses or people that are actually using it to make hires. And so I'm sure if that were to shift, I could consider investing more time in it.
So I am also on LinkedIn. I know as a professional network, it has made me interested in other people and their skill sets, mm-hmm. but not necessarily because I'm looking for a job. But it is a more professional way to present yourself as a skillful person online.
Okay.
I am not LinkedIn.
Oh, you're not?
I am not.
I kind of ignored I am LinkedIn, but I update it like once a year and anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but it is, you know, it's a new way, you know, it's a new opportunity to that people are using. Okay, and then we see that our expectations are quite different. So you don't necessarily, according to millennials, you don't have to be in the office to be on the job. And I think that's because a lot is done on cell phones. You know, I often, even when I'm with my kids who are both professionals in different fields, they often are using their cell phone to accomplish what needs to be done. Well, we are really, really out of time, so we thank you for joining us here, and we ask that you let us know your thought once again on Facebook or letters.com, and we hope you'll join us again here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Bye for now.
Goodbye. Goodbye.